Oh, let's go. When is this? When do you normally launch it? Do you launch it in the morning or the afternoon?
It'll actually be Monday morning.
Here we go.
Welcome. Morning, afternoon. Thanks for coming back and listening so soon. Bring in the stories of everyday folks while you sit back, relax, have a whisk, coach. Here we go with the Trend Speak podcast, bringing you insight or bringing a laugh. Here's the man who might have a plan. Give it up for your host, Trent Podskaland.
Thank you, Isaiah. Hello, everyone. Welcome into episode 138 of the Trent Speaks podcast. For those new and old to the podcast, welcome in. Very excited to bring you today's guest here on the pod. And so let's get right to it and waste no time. From being a fan of his to now friend of the podcast, very excited to bring you today's guest. And as you know, to make every episode their own, I ask the guest to sign off. However, just as funny and unique as he is, he actually ended up signing off. And I said, you know what? That actually makes a way better intro for your own podcast. And so I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Kevin Cooney as much as I did. Time is going to fly by. I could have talked to him for hours. I'll talk to you all a little bit at the end, but I hope you enjoy this conversation just as much as I had talking with him.
Good morning, you bad, beautiful bitches. You are blessing your ears with Trent Speaks, all right? So sit back, relax, put the headphones in, prepare to be dazzled. Hugs and kisses. Love ya.
Very excited to be talking with Kevin Cooney this week. Kevin, am I saying that correctly? Is it Cooney?
You got it.
Awesome.
Kevin Cooney, nailed
it. Awesome. Kevin, welcome into the Trent Speaks podcast.
I love it. Thank you, man, for having me. This is sweet.
Yeah, no, it's sweet that you're here. First, I just want to say thank you. You know, you had last year, I had reached out to you a couple of times. Nothing on you by any means. You had talked about shooting your shot. And I think one of the big things, I usually get on these unintended hiatuses, however you want to say it. Yep. And so I've been trying to get guests back on the podcast and everything. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try reaching out to Kevin again. And so I appreciate you replying and being able to hop on and everything. It's great to see you, to meet you and to have you here.
Hell yeah. It's an honor to be here, man. That is 100% on me. I talk about that all the time. Like, just shoot your shot. What's the worst that happens? And then I get so bogged down in freaking emails and messages. So I'm pumped to work. A year in the making. Look at us, huh?
That's crazy. Yeah, here we are. We're doing it.
I love it. Hell yeah.
Hey, I wanted to talk to you. I want to get in a little bit about TikTok here in a minute and everything. But I wanted to start by talking with you about life before TikTok, if you will.
Totally.
And so who was before TikTok? Who was Kevin Cooney? Is this also this life before TikTok? Is this where I've heard you talk about flip life before? Is that where that originated from as well?
100. I was always, even as like a young kid, I was just ridiculously positive. Like it's just how it's, I had a more old school dad who believed in, you know, waking up early, working every hour of the day. And then I had like a mom that was just unconditional love. So it was like a great balance of parenting where, you know, they just instilled, you know, there's so much going on in the world and in our little world, like life is okay. Like it's good. Like you need to find, even if it's not, you need to find the positives and everything. But yeah, I was always like super glass half full, full of energy as a kid. It's funny. What got me into media was my mom. She called them day in the life videos. And she basically, I basically looked at my mom my entire life with her having one of those camcorders that opens up on the side.
Old school ones.
She was like this my whole childhood, following us around with cameras. And so we have we have volumes of, no joke, we probably have 500 plus CDs. And each CD is probably about 3 to 6 months of footage of our whole lives.
Wow.
And she's got them dated and stuff. And she had to take those from cassette tapes, transfer them to DVDs. And now DVDs are kind of outdated. So she's in the process to getting them, you know, digital on the cloud. And so I always, it's funny, like, as I think back to where I am now and back growing up, it's like I always had a camera on me, you know, and I fell in love with it. We were always doing skits and acting and, you know, the classic like Thanksgiving or Christmas when your relatives are over, like me and my twin sister and older sister coming up with stupid dances or something. And and then you hit it right on the head. That at an early age, I realized I didn't know what it was called, that it was called business at the time, but I used to flip anything I get my hands on. First one really being, I used to go to this golf course in particular that had a water hole on the ocean, and at low tide, the water would come out of this little gully and you could go in there in the mud flaps and pick up golf balls. And I used to pick up the golf balls. I would scrub them up. And then I'm a little kid doing this. I'm probably 5, 6, 7 years old. This is every summer.
Oh, wow.
Mushroom cut, like head to toe in denim, like early, you know, barely 2000, 2001, 2002. I'd scrub up the balls and then I would go sit on the tee box at the first tee and resell them to the guys golfing and stuff. So I didn't know that was business. I didn't know that was entrepreneurship. I just loved, you know, I loved hunting for that item to flip, which at that time was golf balls. And then I love the conversation, more the conversation than anything else that, you know, that came from that.
And I've heard you speak before. That's how you ended up paying off your student loans. Well, not with the golf balls, but with the couches, right?
I graduated Plymouth State in 2017. I had $60,000 of student loan debt. And it dawned on me right before graduating. I was like, we lived off campus. There was 20 of us that lived in one house. It wasn't a frat or anything, but a mix of, we had rugby guys and football guys in there. And we had all this furniture and our landlord's like, okay, you can't throw it out and you can't set it on fire. That was like the big thing to do at Plymouth State at the time. It was like, set your furniture on fire. So I was like, shit, what are we going to do? So this is right as Facebook Marketplace is coming out. Craigslist is obviously very much a thing at the time, but a little sketchy. And we put it all up on Facebook Marketplace and, you know, mini fridges were going for $10 and a coffee table was $5 and the couch was $50. Like, it was nothing crazy, but it dawned on me. I was like, damn, if I just had more free shit to sell, I could do this. And that's when I started looking on Facebook Marketplace and I would search free. And you hit it right on the nose. I literally... took me 2 years to pay off $60,000 worth of student loan debt, all from flipping furniture. Nothing fancy. I started in my parents' garage where I would literally, I'd grab couches and I'd stack them up the long way, end to end. And then my
sure
dad,
they love that.
Yeah. That obviously is funny. Every time, so we'd be eating dinner. This is like, I just graduated college. I'm back living at home. We'd be eating dinner and I'd have like 6 to 11 couches in the garage at one time. And my mom and dad would die laughing because during dinner, I'd have like 2 or 3 people interrupt us and I'd have to leave dinner and go down to the garage and go meet these people and give them the couch. And they were like, I'd come back up and I'd have, you know, $200, $400, $150 from each sale. And they're like, you just made $600, $800, $1,000 just in the span of us eating dinner. Like they thought it was this like funny fluke thing. And that's when I got more serious. I was like, damn, now, you know, we didn't have a ton of space in the garage. You know, it wasn't like this big garage. You could just keep, I had 6 to 11 couches where I really probably should only had like 3 in there. You know, I'm breaking tools that are in there and it's leaning on my parents' car and, you know, they're not pleased. And so then I got a storage unit. I got a 10 by 11 square foot storage unit where then I could fit even more. I could fit like 15 to 20 at a time. And then it was just rinse and repeat. I was paying $3,000 a month every month for 2 years straight. And the $3,000 was all coming from sold couches. So if I sold a sectional for $600 that day, I would literally log online, go to my student loans and hand over the $600. Even if it was like something stupid, a lamp for $20, I would grab that 20, put it in my bank account, and then literally go into my student loans and put $20 in.
Good for you. Cause not a lot of people would have that commitment to do it and to keep up with it.
It honestly became a game for me because I saw the big number of 60,000 in the red. And I'll never forget, because, you know, at the time, I don't know anything about student loans and I don't know how interest works. And no one ever talked to me about that in school. And I remember we sat down with DCU, which is who my loans are from. And the lady with a smile on her face is like, yeah, you know, you'll pay about $285 a month for the next 10 years and you'll be debt free. And that like gut feeling in my stomach was so sickening. I was like, 280 something bucks for the next, to the next decade. So it literally became a game. Once I saw 60,000 go to 59,000, 800, I was like, oh, game on, here we go. Like every day it was like, I was trying to get that thing just down to zero. So it really became, I'm super competitive. So once I kind of pointed my, competitive guns towards student loans, it was like, oh, I got an all out attack on student loans.
Well, Kevin, and you said it kind of toward the beginning of kind of who was Kevin Cooney and about your passion, your energy, your sense of humor. It's something that I've really seen shine through your TikToks. And that's how I found you, was on TikTok. Yeah. I started with the Good Morning Alarms and everything. And from there, I was immediately hooked. How did your brand come to fruition? I guess it's like the chicken or the egg, right? Because I know you have the Good Morning Alarms, but then you also have your business Dangerously Caffeinated. Mm-hmm. Which came first, and how did those come to fruition for you?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's funny. Everything I've ever done, oddly enough, I didn't even think of. It's all came from the audience. Like you're talking to a guy who I did the weather in high school. Like I just loved media production and on all angles of it. I loved filming it. I loved directing it. I loved editing it. I loved being in front of the camera if that's where they wanted me, in school. And so Dangerously Caffeinated, for example, started as a catchphrase. Like I would end each morning alarm by saying, let's get dangerously caffeinated. And I kind of was like, okay, cool. Like that was kind of it for me. I was like, oh, this, like, people are loving it. Like I enjoy making the content. So like mission complete. And that's where within my DMs and comment section, I'd see hundreds of DMs and hundreds of comments all saying the same thing, which was at the time, hey, where's the merch? Like, got to put Dangerously Caffeinated on a hat. Got to put, hey, if you had a hoodie, I'd wear it. And I was like, oh shit, merch. Like that's genius. So then I figured out how to make merch and how to set up a website and sell that. And merch is pretty easy, pretty straightforward to get, merch, up and running. And then same kind of thought process. I was like, cool, we're good. Like kept rolling out the videos. People are tagging me in their stories wearing the merch. And I'm like, wow, we've done it. Look at us. This is fun. No real thought of like, ooh, what can we scale this to next? Still just enjoying the process. And then probably about 6 months to a year later, they're like, okay, we're wearing the merch. Like, where is this, a coffee company? I got a ton of comments at the time that was like, I Googled this. Like, I would love to drink Dangerously Caffeinated coffee. Like, what stores are you in? And that's how I was like, oh, okay. This is just like the merch thing. Like there's enough demand up front where if I go into this, it's almost guaranteed sales. And that's exactly what happened. I found a Roastmaster. We taste tested different blends. We did a family and friends round of taste testing. And then we launched with three blends and sure enough, right out of the gate, we had automatic sales. So it's funny, like anything I've created, the idea has actually come from the audience. And that for me, like, it's funny. Every time I do these, like, I don't think out loud a ton. And when I do, even right now, this is almost like a, this is almost like a think tank for me. Like, as I'm talking to you, I'm like, oh yeah, because in business, that is like, normally it's like you come up with the product, you find a problem. You're like, okay, this is the better mousetrap. Let me roll with it. Where in this case, it was, you had pent up demand for a product that didn't exist, and then made that product a real tangible item. And you knew, okay, I was going to have sales, from this. So it really was a case of, it wasn't a case of if you build it, they will come. It was like, they already came. Now I have to build it, that's really what it was for me and kind of my career on TikTok.
Kevin, we moved so fast in getting something set up. I didn't even have time to, technically I've had time to buy and try the coffee, but I was like, I need to buy and try this coffee before I talk to him. And we I didn't get to, but I was looking. I know that there's, like you said, some different blends and everything. Do you have a favorite? I was looking. I'm looking at like Wake Up Call, Pick Me Up, Vanilla Caramel sounds really good. Do you got a favorite that you recommend?
My go-to, and I drink this pretty much religiously every morning.
Black?
Oh yeah.
Ask you. You drink it black?
Okay. I drink it black. Okay. Yeah. We actually just got they're on Amazon. They're like $20. You can get it is a I'll actually show it to you. It's a so it looks like this. It's basically a beaker,
oh, cool,
if you will. And this is literally, this has the Wake Up Call, and I'll either do the Wake Up Call or the defibrillator in this. You literally just put the coffee grounds, the actual grounds of the beans, in this little cylinder, which I've taken it out already, but you just pour cold water on it and then you let it sit in your fridge. You have now instant cold brew.
That's awesome.
And it's so my go-to is the Wake Up Call or the defibrillator. They're a lighter bean, so more caffeine. Not as much taste. Like if you're like a coffee connoisseur, you might want to do the pick me up. That's more of a dark roast, less caffeine, you know, more flavors to it. But yeah, I'm a Wake Up Call or the defibrillator kind of guy all day long.
That's awesome. All right. I'm definitely going to get some, and the Wake Up Call sounds right up my alley. So I'll definitely look into that one.
A perfect fit.
Hey, you just started a podcast a couple months ago, the No Limits podcast with Kevin Cooney. Where did the idea for this one come from?
No joke. And I haven't even thought about this out loud till we're chatting about it. This is the same as the merch and the coffee. I got enough DMs, and literally I got enough DMs that was like, we love your morning energy, but it's only 30 seconds long, or the video is only 45 seconds or a minute long. Like, we need this in a long form morning show podcast. And we've done shows in the past, like, you know, just kind of messing around with old high school buddies and stuff. And then I was like, a morning show. I was like, that would be pretty interesting. This is, that's something to think about there. So then boom, the No Limits podcast was basically born. So we partnered with a media company in Boston here called Big Night Live. So our studio's right in Seaport, and it's been fun and kind of same deal. Like, you know, there was enough demand up front asking for a long form podcast that was kind of a mix of, you know, high energy, business related, and motivating was kind of the three trends I was seeing that people were asking for. And that's exactly what we rolled out with. We've had some episodes that are, you know, more heartfelt, more relationship advice, you know, job advice, career advice. We've had other ones that are more funny, you know, really just like us kind of shooting the shit and in a as if like two old friends were to grab coffee. We've had very serious business episodes. I think of like Eric Spofford, you know, is one that we just did recently where, you know, big like real estate, you know, kind of sore. So it's been fun. Yeah. It's basically picture the morning alarm spread out now in 30 to 45 to an hour long, you know, videos. It's been a blast. We rolled that out probably about 6 months ago now. So still somewhat of a new venture, but the response has been great. It's just been all from my one superpower in life is I have a really good read on people, and I love humans. So I keep my ear to the ground always, and I notice trends, and I read every DM I get. I might be a day or two behind on DMs, but I always try to, you know, read every DM and answer every comment. And in turn, I actually get, you know, really good feedback, with that being, you know, from the podcast and the coffee and the merch.
Yeah, I do want to say you are a very personable guy, and I'm not going to lie to you. I was starting to get anxious and a little bit nervous before we hopped on everything, because to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, he's this big influencer on TikTok. I was finally able to get a hold of him. But the fact that you take time to talk to the people that message you, to really listen to what it is that have to say, really goes to show you're just, you know, a normal everyday person living life out here and trying to be for the people, basically.
I live for that. One, thank you so much for saying that. Two, you hit it right in the head. It's you know, it's funny. We actually just recorded a podcast earlier today with a buddy of mine. And we were talking about the same thing, you know, for whatever reason, people will get a following, even a smaller following, you know, 10,000, 50,000, 100,000 followers, and now think they're untouchable and their ego goes through the roof. And the moment that happens, in my mind, you've lost. You've totally lost the game. Like, if life is very much a game, it's so easy to get wrapped up in the analytics of your views and comments and followers and think, oh, I'm the next Tom Brady of my industry. Like, there's no one can touch. Whereas if you can play in, I play in this middle space, if you will, where I see everything. I see all the cheers, all the comments that are like, go Kevin, go, but I don't internalize them. They don't inflate my head. And same with the bad comments. Boo, you suck. This guy blows. I see them all. Same deal. They don't even penetrate my brain, you know? So I play in this middle ground where I'm able to, you know, kind of just be, like you said, just a regular, you know, everyday kind of guy, you know, who doesn't want to have the big, you know, my rule with social media really is no ego, you know? And I've seen, you know, it's a tough battle with creators in the space, and they build up a following fast and now think, you know, they could run for office. But if you can play in this very, you know, down to earth kind of space I'm in the middle, you know, it's more power to you.
Kevin, I know we have a couple minutes left. I've got a couple more questions for you, and then I want to dive in just a couple Trent Speak related questions. One of the questions I had for you, so your girlfriend, she has a very strong Boston accent. For those that have not listened to your TikToks, the center of a lot of videos, you have your own Boston translator playlist on there for all of the ones with her. I was talking to a good girlfriend of mine, earlier, and she was like, you have to ask Kevin, when is he proposing? So I just had to ask because she told me I had to ask you.
It is hot on the radar. That's for sure. I've been getting damn near death threats in my DM from folks asking the same question. I'll leave it at this. It'll be soon. I can't give dates.
You said soon back in December, though. I will say you've been using the soon for a while.
Soon is relative. We have so much time here on Earth. You know, I think everyone's moving a little too fast. All right. Jeez. Unreal. It'll be soon. The pieces
are looking forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be filmed. The whole thing will be filmed and photographed for sure.
Hey, your morning alarms. I did have a question about that for you. Again, always very energetic. I love showing them to other people and everything. I know you said you draw a lot of inspiration from what you hear from people who are following you. Mm-hmm. When you are creating those in the morning, is it really just whatever comes to your mind and like, this is what I'm going to say for the day?
And I was like this even in school, I don't write anything down, and I'm not even kidding when I say this, I probably read at maybe a sixth grade level. Like, my reading skills are, como se dice, not great. I literally, those, whenever I do those morning alarms, I'm coming off of a workout in the morning and I'm leaving the gym. And that's when, it's like, I now try to tailor them more towards DMs and comments that I've seen. I get a lot of requests, you know, from different industries or different just life situations, you know, divorce, D1 athlete that didn't make it to the pros, depression, drug use. Like, I get a lot of, so I'm always consciously thinking of kind of, you know, who might need a little bit of a push in the right direction. But yeah, it's a freestyle, it's on the ball. There's some mornings where I don't post them, and that's because, like, just being a human, I was like, I wasn't feeling it. Maybe I myself wasn't really in the mood. You know, so I try to do now, I used to do them every morning. I try to do a Monday, Wednesday, Friday is kind of the cadence of those morning alarms now. But yeah, they're very much a freestyle.
Awesome. Before I ask you my Trent Speaks questions, how can people follow you? How can people stay in touch?
Yeah, it's Kevin Cooney on everything, on all platforms. So I'm always available in there. I'm always available via DMs. I'll give you another one. I just got a, I got a new, I'm trying to build this community so people can reach me even faster. So I'll do you one better. I'll give you my, I have a community number where people can text me day or night. I'm on there like probably more than I should be on there, honestly. And that's 617-405-3525 is my cell there. So, you know, people can text me on that, and reach me there as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Kevin. Oh, yeah. Hey, wanted to know, what is the most impactful moment or event that you would say has shaped who you are today?
Ooh.
Oh yeah. We get deep. We get deep here.
Trent Speaks, dude. That's a deep, most impactful moment. A couple things come to mind, and I honestly think for me, it was the moment I realized, holy hell. I have two that come to mind. There's a moment of holy hell. I just paid off my student loans all by my own actions. That was an earlier day one. Like if you caught me in, that was 2019. Basically I paid off student loans. That was kind of my like, oh wow. That was my first moment of, cause I'm now a big believer in schools basically teach you a lot, but they teach you a lot of how to basically follow orders from other people, right? That's, they teach you to be a great employee. And me doing the couches was my first time ever outside the golf balls of doing something 100% just me, no outside help, your own boss. And that's when I was like, wow, okay, this is entrepreneurship. This is what it's all about. And then newly, like the 2023 version of that kind of same mantra would, there's so many that come to mind, honestly, but I got to go with, once I realized that same thing for TikTok, like I knew couches was a very profitable area to be in. Once I, and I'm not talking like the creator fund, just from, I have a agent, her name's Georgina, who is just this, like, this negotiating stud. She'll kick open any boardroom with some of the biggest brands. And I get these calls and texts and emails of this like insane life-changing news of these, you know, different brand deals. So that, you know, and that's been happening for the last probably 18 months or so, but just now I always, similar to the couches, I always thought, okay, that'll probably be my last couch I sell. And then sure enough, I go get eight more, you know, the next day. Same with the brand deals. Like you do a big brand deal and you're like, wow, that was so cool. Who knows if I can replicate that? And then, you know, with the help of Georgina and shout out Dalcetto, she's the agency that she works for. You know, the next morning you got a truck full of other cool opportunities. So it's, and similar to the couches, like social media, I never thought was a viable option, for a career path for me. I always heard the stories of so-and-so creator or YouTuber or Vine star made millions, you know, doing X, Y, and Z. I was always like, oh, I wonder, I don't know if that's my path as well. And now seeing that definitely is amazing, you know, super eye-opening, and super motivating. Like even explaining it to other people, you know, when they ask what you do for work, there's an awkward, I was saying this earlier today, like, when you're in the creator space and people ask, what do you do for work? You almost feel like you're in the mob where you kind of make up what you do. Like you never have a great answer. It's never like, you know, when you ask someone like, oh, what do you do for work? And they're like an accountant or a banker or a lawyer, or they're in sales. It's such an easy answer. It's normally 5 to 10 words and the sentence is over. But you ask like an entrepreneur or a creator, it's like, what do you do for work? It's very hard to be like, oh, well, you know, like even now, like how do you even answer it? You know, it's like there's so much on your plate and you don't want to come off, you know, as too much out of the gate for someone. So I constantly keep it like ridiculously simple. I'm like, oh, I, you know, we're just making positivity cool, you know, on the internet. You know, I kind of like brush it under the rug. So yeah, probably that, you know, social media is an actual, you know, career that could be life-changing.
Kevin, I've just got one more question for you. Last question, whether it's something we've talked about or maybe it's something we haven't talked about, what do you want people to take away when they listen to this podcast?
Yeah, I think, and this sounds somewhat cliche, but it is So true. Depending on what you want to do career-wise, you know, when it comes to business, some people don't mind being a number two or number three or even another 50 in a company, and they're happy with their status as a, you know, employee. You're going to, if you want to live outside that, you know, you want to work for yourself and be your quote unquote own boss. And almost everyone you tell that to is going to shoot you down. Mom, dad, very close friends, girlfriend, boyfriend, you know, they're going to say, yeah, that's a little ridiculous. You know, we live in a society now where it's easier to just tell someone, no, that's impossible, than to actually say, you know what, you could actually do it. Like, you could really actually grow something to scale for yourself on your own. So to really just trust your gut, you know, if you're, and this is only for folks that are complaining of where they're at, or if they want to be, you know, I have best friends that work at companies that they're never leaving. They are through the moon happy. They got equity in the company. And that's amazing. Like I see, so that side actually sounds very nice, you know, as well. But if you really believe in yourself and you feel like, okay, I have this idea or company or clothing line or product that I think the world would enjoy, you know, you got to bet the farm on yourself. It's very easy to get into the, oh, well, you know, yeah, mom and dad said this, or, you know, my parents said this, or my coworkers say it's impossible, so it must be impossible. I always go back to medical science said running a 4-minute mile was impossible. Impossible. Can't run a 4-minute mile. It's absolutely impossible. And I should look this up to be better prepared. If you look at who's run a 4-minute mile now, there's hundreds of people. But this was like 2012, 2013, 2014. The first man runs a 4-minute mile. First man runs a 4-minute mile. And now, like, literally the next day, like 20 other people ran a 4-minute mile. So there's something there in your own psychology that's like, oh, wait, if they can do it, then clearly I can do it. Like, how does no one from, you know, basically the birth of Earth not run a 4-minute mile, and one guy on a random Wednesday in 2012 runs a 4-minute mile, now all of a sudden a lot of people can, you know? So sometimes when you think like, oh no, it's impossible, it's just, you know, it's a big mountain to climb, but you can do it.
Huge thank you again to Kevin for joining me on the podcast this week. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. Feel free to like and follow on Instagram, Facebook, and I'm dabbling in TikTok. Follow me at Trent Speaks. And you can hear a new guest here every Monday. If you'd like to share your story, please don't hesitate to reach out. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.